Dr. Seth Moore is Director of Biology and Environment with the Grand Portage Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. The Grand Portage Band engages in fisheries and wildlife research projects throughout the year, and Dr. Moore joins us now in the studio to talk a little bit about some of the band's current and ongoing projects.
Today I'm going to talk a little bit about the Grand Portage Native Fish Hatchery. We've actually initiated two different projects in recent months with the hatchery, and one of them is restoring commercial and subsistence species. And what we have done is partnered with our commercial and subsistence fishers to restore lake herring and whitefish. It turns out both of those species are harvested during their spawning period. So we've partnered with them to collect eggs and sperm from the fish. We fertilize the eggs and then rear them in the hatchery. And this allows for high survival rates because there's no predation on the eggs.
So just for example, how many fish are you rearing at a time?
Well, that's a good question. It's actually sort of how many eggs are we rearing? We initially hatched the eggs out. So each heath stack probably can hold 20 or 30,000 herring eggs. And with 10 stacks, you know, that's 300,000 eggs easily. Whitefish eggs are slightly larger, so maybe slightly fewer in 10 stacks of them. So we're probably incubating anywhere around 500,000 to 750,000 eggs during the winter.
During the winter, and then they are what size then in the spring?
Well, that's a really good question. The way that we're doing this with the whitefish and lake herring is we get the eggs from the fishermen when they're harvesting them during the spawn, and we actually run Lake Superior water through the stacks so that the eggs hatch at the normal time when they would be hatching naturally. And then what happens is we allow the fry just to flush right out into Grand Portage Bay, which is exactly where the fish were spawning in the first place. And then the natural diet for those fry is exactly at the right size for them to prey on them.
Have you noticed any increase in the herring population in Grand Portage Bay since you started?
You know, we haven't. This is the second year that we've been working with the commercial and subsistence fishermen. But the way that we feel about this is that those fish were going to get harvested regardless of our presence, and those eggs weren't going to ever get fertilized and cast into the water. So anything that we do, we presume to be helping the population. And one thing that we know is we can get 99% survival rates as we rear these eggs in the hatchery, whereas in nature, you actually get 99% mortality on eggs.
That's major.
Yeah, so we can certainly get a jump on the survival rate just by raising them in the hatchery.
How are herring doing in Lake Superior overall?
You know, that's a good question. There are major initiatives underway to try to restore lake herring populations in Lake Superior. They got hammered pretty hard initially by commercial fishermen, and then subsequently, after the lake trout population has become restored and we have high numbers of exotic salmonids like Chinook and Coho and rainbow trout, lake herring or Siskiyou species are one of the major prey items. So their numbers have been down, and there's a big initiative in the Great Lakes to try to restore their populations. So I think in a grand scale, their populations are low, but I think on the local scale, our populations have been fluctuating around a fairly constant population size for a number of years.
Mm-hmm. What else do you want to talk about today?
Well, we have another hatchery project that we're very proud of. When we initially built our fish hatchery, it was exclusively a cold water fish hatchery, and we were drawing water from Lake Superior year round. The issue with that was that during the months from, say, November 15th to about May 15th, we're actually circulating water through our hatchery at 31 degrees Fahrenheit. In fact, most of the time our water was below freezing. The fact that it was flowing is what kept it liquid. And so the downside to that was that the growth rates and our hatch dates on fish, our growth rates were very slow and our hatch dates were very late. So we have implemented some inexpensive ways to warm our water so that we can get higher growth rates, earlier hatch dates, and we can also start to restore some warm water species like walleye and lake sturgeon. And the way that we did this was we actually implemented what's called a recirculation system. We set up some pumps inside of our raceways that can pump water throughout the hatchery, and the water is then passively heated by the air temperature, and we can actually get water temperatures about 50 to 55 degrees Fahrenheit rather than 31 degrees Fahrenheit. And the nice thing about this is we can do this using just the air temperature, you know, rather than buy a propane boiler, which is very expensive, and rather than pay for a tremendous amount of propane to heat the water a few degrees.
How did you figure this out?
We had heard about a hatchery in Wisconsin that was recirculating water for a different reason. They just had an aquifer that was going dry, and so they wanted to recycle water rather than have it flow through their hatchery. And so that's where we learned about the idea of recirculation. And then when I started looking at prices for propane boilers and the sheer amount of propane it would require to heat flow through water 2 or 3 degrees, it just seemed cost prohibitive. And so we kind of put 2 and 2 together and figured out that if we recirculated our water within the hatchery and kept our hatchery air temperature at about 55 degrees, we could achieve the goals we were looking for.
So the fish are growing a lot faster. Does that mean that there's a higher survival rate?
That's a good question. Our survival rate hasn't changed, but was fairly high to begin with. But we were able to get our brook trout to hatch by the first week of January rather than the third week of May. And we've been able to get fish to grow to 6 inches in a year in the hatchery rather than 2 inches. So we've tripled the growth rate. We've really ramped up the hatch dates, and then we can keep our survival rates high just by paying attention to what we do in the hatchery.
We're talking with Dr. Seth Moore. He's a wildlife biologist with the Grand Portage Band of Lake Superior Chippewa, and he joins us regularly to talk about the band's current and ongoing natural resource projects. I want to end, like we always do here, with a piece of trivia from your daughter. Do you have anything for us today?
Yeah, I just recently learned from Hannah that giraffes can clean their ears with their tongues.
Well, that's quite a visual. There.
I try not to visualize some of these things.
Dr. Seth Moore, thanks so much for joining us today.
Sure. Thank you, Kara.